Welcome to the episode number 2, FearoCast. Today we are interrupting the FearoFocus magazine planning meeting. We've got Jim Hallman, Christian Sass, Frank Krozik, and Ken Brown, and I am your host, Mike Croyer. So, good evening, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right, Mike. Good. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing well.
So, Jim, what influenced you to start FearoFocus, and when did it start?
FearoFocus kind of was originally brought up in the first meeting of the Northern Illinois Fear Enthusiasts back on October 19th, 1991. One of our founding members, Jim Corbin, emphasized at our founding meeting that the only true way to communicate with all of the club members, no matter how large the club is through some type of a written documentation, whether it's a newsletter, a magazine, but there has to be some type of formal written document, and that is the true only way to communicate with all of your club members. So FearoFocus kind of developed out of that. One of our club members, original club members, Bruce Clevin, he was a photographer. He came up with the idea of FearoFocus because that was kind of the gist of the magazine. So he came up with that title, and we started our FearoFocus issue. The first issue was, I'm guessing, around November or December of 1991, and we've kind of evolved from there.
Interesting trivia question here, so if anybody can answer it. How many issues have been published of FearoFocus?
I believe that's 163 issues have been published of FearoFocus.
That's a lot. How many year spans has that been?
Well, if you do the math, it looks like it comes out to about 27 years that we've been doing FearoFocus.
Would you consider that the longest running publication dedicated to the Fearo?
Longest continuous, yes. There were some clubs that actually started before the Northern Illinois Fear Enthusiasts, but they do not publish consistent magazines or newsletters anymore. A lot of clubs have gone digital with, just mailings or communications through their Facebook pages. So we're the only consistent one that has continued to publish any type of a written document on a regular basis.
It's a good point you brought up about the newsletters. Did FearoFocus ever start as a newsletter before it became a magazine, or was it always a magazine?
It started out as a newsletter, just a couple of sheets of paper that communicated information about club events to all of our club members at the time. When our membership director at the time, Paul Vargas, joined us as a board member, he kind of pushed FearoFocus to new levels in terms of just expanding it and creating more and greater in-depth content in the communication in order to provide more information to all of our club members.
Jim, let me interrupt you. How many members were there back then when
that was just a newsletter? I'm guessing there were, at that time, probably around 100, 150 or so club members.
And
that was probably, I'm guessing, around 18 to 20 years ago.
Okay, and just so, in case someone doesn't know, how many are we up to today?
Right now we're consistently, over the past maybe 7, 8, 9 years, we've been consistent with about 350 club members.
Okay. Did you see a ton of growth when you went from like the newsletter to the magazine? Did that contribute at all? Or?
I think just the consistency of it helped contribute to increasing our club membership. It's more than the content of it. It's just that people want to get something on a regular basis, and they want to know that it's going to be something that's worth opening up and substantial, and information for them to digest.
So I've got a question for you. How many awards and what kind has the Furo focused?
That is a self-serving question if I've ever heard one.
I just had to slide that in because it's something to be proud of.
Yes, it is.
No, you guys are the most award-winning.
I think since at least since 2000, well, I think I'd have to look back at who's got an issue with Furo Focus
here. I think it goes back to 97.
1997, I think, is when we first started getting the Golden Quill Award from Old Cars Weekly, and we've, I think, all but 1 year since 1997 have received that award.
Now, just for scale and perspective again, how many magazines and publications are competing for that award each year? I mean, we're not like the only one.
Oh, no, there's...
That's the first thing I do is I open it up and I go through and I look at all the pictures. And then I go back and start looking at the articles, and I pretty much enjoy all the articles in there. There's always something interesting hidden there if you just look around. I even like the opening article by our leader here. Sometimes that's very
Frank, you're being biased.
Yeah, I am. You know.
My favorite Meet a Member was the Mike Croyer Meet a Member. Mike Croyer that came out in that last issue.
Which one? One, two, or three?
There was a picture of Mike Croyer interviewing Mike Croyer for the Meet a Member. And by the way, if you'd like to be a Meet a Member, contact Mike Croyer. I'm like, man, he's all over the back page.
Yep. He'd do anything to get on the back
that's
page,
right.
You know?
So that was my favorite. To this date, is my favorite issue. Now it was the Stinger with Archie on the front when they opened the door, but no, now okay. Your back page has trumped that and has pumped it down to number two.
Nice.
So, do you have a favorite issue?
Do I have a favorite issue? After 163 of them. No, I don't have one single favorite issue.
Oh, they're all his baby.
I would say the series ones are, I felt really kind of tied a lot of stuff together. Mm-hmm. I know we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I remember the, talking about the engines, the engine series in the January, February, and March, April 2017 issues. That was very fun to put those issues together because it took a lot of coordination and mm-hmm. knowing that there were so many individuals all writing about one aspect of the Pontiac Fiero. And I remember time and time again, people come up to me and say, you know, what could you possibly continue to write? The car hasn't been produced in over 30 years. What can you find new and continue to write about this thing to keep this thing going? And it's like, there's endless. I mean, there's stuff that we have in our inventory that we haven't even touched yet from 5, 6, 7 years ago. Because, I mean, there's so much good material out there, and there's a lot of good authors from other clubs that we correspond with that we pull their information into our club, and they use some information from our Fiero Focus magazine and use it for their club magazine. So there's a lot of networking also that goes on within the Fiero community, which is good for all of us. So
going back to when it first started, how many were working with Fiero Focus at the time?
Let me count them on one hand. There was one individual working on Fiero Focus, and that was me. And then we turned into two people. It was myself, and then we had one gentleman that took over kind of the layout aspect of it. And we've then, in about 2000 or so, we kind of morphed into a full team of about 6 individuals, and we've stayed at that level ever since. We started out with one, went to two, and it just got to be too overwhelming and too time-consuming to have just one or two people do it, and then we've expanded it into a whole team, which I think has really grown the magazine into its content. And at some of these Fiero Focus meetings, I mean, we're already talking about what's going to be taking place in like a full year out. You know, what are we going to do for, January, February? Now it's... December of 2017, what are we going to do in January and February of 2019? And as we plan out that far in advance, it helps us make sure that we have the right images, make sure that we have the right article content, and we start thinking about, what are some of the accenting articles, such as Ray Dearson's tech articles, or if we have a Fred Bartemeyer article, talk about, some of the same subject matters, or it just helps when we think that far in advance to make sure that the issue is as complete as we can get it at that time.
So based off of the team that you have now, we've got the editors, the proofers, the photographers, the art direction. What goes into coordinating a planning meeting before we go briefly into some of the individual areas? What goes into to having everybody gather here for, you know, 2-3 hours, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
First, you got to pick up the house.
Yeah, first we have to make sure that the Sass family is available so that we can have a meeting at their house, which they've been graciously doing for us for years. Once they're available, then I contact the rest of the team members, make sure that they're all available for the same date. It takes maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour to put the agenda together. The agenda is kind of an evolving agenda where we just, you know, keep adding and removing things as we move forward.
List, right?
Yeah, it's a rolling to-do list primarily. It helps us, you know, stay focused on, you know, things that need to be worked on, things that are getting more timely as the as these deadlines approach. And then the meeting itself, like Mike mentioned, it's, you know, roughly about an hour and a half, 2 hours to kind of go through the agenda. And there's the fun thing about these meetings is that really it's just a lot of brainstorming, and I'm hoping that the rest of the team members enjoy the brainstorming that goes on at these meetings. You know, it's very free and open, and I mean, basically anything goes. I mean, if you have a good idea, we're gonna take it and we're gonna go with it.
And it's well beyond the magazine too. It's all the events that you guys host, mm-hmm. like the upcoming event that you're planning for the 35th. I mean, there's more than just the magazine that's being discussed.
Yeah, so. We spent in tonight's meeting, we had quite a bit of time discussing the 35th event and talking about guest speakers and possibly recording guest speakers and coming up with scheduling of those guest speakers. And you know, then we're also planning a future issue in October of 2018, talking about the 35th anniversary specifically. And, you know, we're kind of planning out some of those things and what's going to be included in that issue, how we're going to go about getting it to the members, you know, various, you know, multiple aspects of all that.
Very cool. Now we're going to kind of switch a little bit. You can kind of cover the editorial end of it. Christian, Frank, Ken, your thoughts on over the past years of how the photography has gone. Frank, you do the photography for the magazine. Ken, you do the image cleanup. Christian does some of the art direction. How do you pick pictures, or how do you come up with ideas for pictures?
You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's kind of difficult to come up with something, a new way of photographing the same model car for about 13 years. And that would cover the major shows, the anniversary shows. I've made a couple of special trips up for instance, to do Dave Bagwell's DL-10 Predator. He met us partway to Bloomington. We had a great time visiting and photographing the car. It's just, what does it look like? How does it sit? What's the lighting like? And a lot of things like that. But it's been interesting. I got to see a lot of different cars, different things on cars mm-hmm. that I probably would have missed.
I gotta apologize. You're gonna hear throughout this podcast. Sounds like a laughing bird. There's a dove in the room, and I just wanted to make sure that those like, if you haven't like gone crazy like smacking the side of whatever you're listening to try and get that noise out of it, it's not going away. She's gonna keep talking. So,
what's the dove's name?
Oh, the dove's name is Clementine.
Clementine.
Yes. It is a tangerine ringneck dove that showed up at our doorstep kind of, I don't know, many, many, many years ago. But, yeah. Sorry. Just apologizing. Just, you know, someone's got to be scratching their head going, what is that noise?
So what article does the dove produce?
Well, the article actually is the subject of a children's book that my children and my wife have written and I'm illustrating, so... not necessarily a fear of focus article, but
maybe you could put it in a car while it's
yeah. But I do, you know, speaking of photos, I was pulling up some from 2003 here.
I actually had hair.
Yeah. but this was the first meeting that I attended. It was in 2003.
Yeah, that's when we...
I just wanted to get a date on it.
That's when we turned into Fear Focus magazine shortly after 2003 when we were evolving it from just a simple newsletter to get it, you know, with color covers and color back covers and make it more substantial than just a 8.5 by 11 copied sheet of paper.
So who's in these pictures here? You're gonna have to.
The original team where we got Wayne and Marcia Zane, yeah. Mike Courier, myself,
you and Mike Sass, both with more hair than you've ever had.
Yep. Allison Sass, Christian Sass.
Yeah,
that was. And we had, you know, we used to have some pretty detailed meetings about how to take this Fear Focus magazine to the next level.
Would you say you succeeded?
I think we succeeded. I hope everybody here thinks they succeeded.
you brought up the picture of Archie with his car there, the Stinger.
Oh, that was a fun shoot. We need more organized shoots like that.
That was the first one I did and the first cover I got.
Those are rocking.
I every once in a while I pull that out of my stack and look at it.
I went out as an art director,
and that's that
makes hands off and like, all right, or what you might call a photo stylist in the proper.
Well, it's art director basically. That's what.
But yeah,
that helped, you know,
kind of breaking you out of the norm. Like, okay, so
that helps a lot.
Go ahead and lay down on the ground, Frank. Let's get this from a low angle.
And I had the camera I had at the time was an Olympus.
Pentax, wasn't it?
No, it was an Olympus. And I could move the screen around so I could get the camera lower. And I just bought a new camera not too long ago that I now again can move articulate the screen.
Did Fear really Focus good. Always use digital photography?
As long as I was with it, for 14 years I did
it.
But
a big downside is when we would get user-submitted photography, and that stuff could be scanned and postage stamp sized.
You never know what you're going
to get. We had some pixelated nightmares happen.
I still deal with some of that.
From time to time.
But it gets better as technology advances. But in some of the first issues, I mean, there was no photography whatsoever just because you couldn't. I mean, you know,
it was too difficult.
You had a 4x6 printout of a copy, and what are you going to do with it? You know, try and get some type of, throw it on a Xerox machine and try and get some type of depth in the contents, and it just didn't work.
All right. Good flashbacks. we'll kind of go quickly through this one. Again, it's open to everybody. Over the years, Fear of Focus has made many changes. And hopefully, you know, the subscribers can see that as well. What are some of the changes that you've seen that you've liked since you've been a subscription subscriber?
Oh, gosh, I think this is kind of the new guy here. I don't know if I have quite the same perspective as some of these guys do, but, you know, I know we changed who printed or how, you know, our printer for Fear of Focus, and it seems to me that since we've done that overall the images just seem to pop off the page a little bit better on.
That's good.
I don't know how much of that is the printer and how much of that my processing, but...
that's a little bit of close, really.
But that's probably the main thing that I've noticed in particular.
The quality.
Yeah, quality just has stepped up.
What about, again, you probably haven't been a subscriber too long prior to joining the team. What was your first cover that you've seen?
Oh, gosh. That's not a fair question. I don't... I can't honestly say I remember. I mean, I know that one of the more recent ones was the Fear 2+2 that I saw. This last one that we just did, I thought was one of the best covers that
was that I'd with Nate on the cover, right?
Yes. Yeah. I liked that one. I thought that one really looked good.
What I saw that I thought was nice was the different people who have been doing articles every issue. And you had that continuity of vision. And the other thing was adding more pages and having more content overall. It's nice. I liked the Meet a Member. I liked a lot of the stuff it just slowly moved over the years and improved. The quality of writing is better, I think. The stuff flows together better. It's just put together better. Everyone has more experience now.
So agreed,
it fits together nice.
Yep. And then...
the first one I saw was when I got harangued into joining up on the team. I was at my first Fiorama. And you're like, so you do this and that? Jim started figuring out some of the stuff that I did. And I'm like, I'm super enthusiastic. I only had one kid at the time. Now it's like, God, I'm lucky to get the room clean before you guys show up.
You're on the carpet.
Yeah. What can I do to, I do this, I do that. I would love to be involved however I can be involved. And I think the first issue I saw was the one that you handed to me then. And that was like that blue cover collage looking thing.
Yep.
I don't even remember what it did. It was 2003.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was probably around 2000, 99 through 2003, thereabouts.
Yeah, it was an 03. It was an 03 magazine, I believe. And you're like, here's what we're doing, and here's what we want to improve on.
Is that the single color background with the collage, or was that the single big color block?
All blue wash.
But the best one was the full block at the top that had the logo, and then a little picture underneath it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, man, I want to take this to like a Motor Trend level. How far can we push this envelope? We just started mocking things up, I think.
Wasn't Archie the first one to grace the full cover span?
The new cover?
The new style?
That was the first shoot with you?
That was the first shoot, when he was in Barrington.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
We drove out there. Yeah.
And when he was local.
When he was a local guy. And he's always going to be my local guy.
Yeah, and I would say for me personally, it's the improvements of the covers over the years. The content is always great. It will always be there, but the cover is what's going to draw your eye first.
Well, not only that, that's what I believe as a member of the car club. You're going to strive to get that position. That's the front page of the newspaper kind of mentality. And as long as you can kind of make sure that it stays at an elevated level, you know, rather than let's be all inclusive and include everyone. No, let's feature somebody. Mm-hmm. And then now it's a goal to, you know, get your mug and get your car as a cover story. So.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the covers change over the years and the quality of the cover, as he's alluded to. Car and driver, or whatever.
Well, just, you know, it's magazine stand. I want this to look like it belongs on a magazine stand. And here are the trends, and here are they do this. This is how, you know, I've never had the opportunity to lay something out that would, I think, would fit in that rack on the magazine rack. Mm-hmm. And that was the goal, and I think we kind of got it figured out about, what, 5 or 6 in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah. That was fun. It still is fun.
It is.
Of course, now it's all yours, man.
Yeah.
I'm not as active. I'm more active trying to like get my cars functional before my kids are old enough to drive them. Which I'm down to, 2 years now, Jim. I'm
down to 2 years.
Down to the wire.
Yeah.
What do the Scribers have to look forward to in the next year, going into 2018?
In the next year, as we previously mentioned during the podcast tonight, one of the big things that we're looking for this year is the October 2018 issue, where we're going to do a full review of the 35th anniversary. Leading up to that, we're finalizing some plans for the March, April, and May, June issue, where we're going to have an article that's going to discuss what's involved with doing a 3800 V6 engine swap. Not necessarily a step-by-step, here's how you do it. It's going to be, what are the things you need to think about before you even consider doing a 3800 engine swap? So we have two issues dedicated to that, written by one of our club members, Tim Jarrell. We have our annual Dells Run review. We have our annual Fiorama review. We got a lot coming up in 2018, and we're looking forward to another good year of Fiero Focus enjoyment.
All right. And then last, before we say good night, any closing remarks to non-subscribers? What would you say to them to persuade them that they need to have this magazine delivered to their mailbox every other month?
Well, I'm gonna lead off with that. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, obviously in this digital age, there's a lot of people that say, you know, why bother with a hard copy magazine? But obviously, with 350 club members, there's still a draw to have something in your hands that's of good quality that can bring you back to the FIRO community and bring you and help keep your enthusiasm in the FIRO community up. And I think that's of the utmost importance. Obviously, 30, 35, as we move into 40 years after the FIRO was introduced. You know, people just want something that is of substance to know that they can connect with other FIRO owners in the U.S. and, as in our case, in the world.
I want to add to that, because a lot of the draw of the digital age is it's in snippets, quick, fast. None of the articles are that long. Mm-hmm. They're all short and concise and easy to understand. And yes, you can put the thing down and 3 months later or 6 years later, you can say, I've had that article. Where's that article?
I was going to point that out. You actually end up building a catalog for yourself of useful information that you always can have on hand, leave out in your garage, put next to your Haynes manual, leave them in the trunk of the car. I don't care. To have something of permanence is a rare thing in these days. Everything's impermanent. Everything's gone in a flash. Somebody deletes it, deletes an email, deletes a video.
Or it erases a bookmark that you...
dumps the YouTube video that you thought was going to be there forever. There's something good about having a tangible product. I mean, if you're not already nostalgic enough about owning a car that existed from 84 to 88, might as well have something that made up of real atoms sitting between your fingers, and you can look something up and you don't have to reboot it while you're crawling under the car. You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's a lot easier, particularly like with the tech articles, to have something in your hand versus an iPhone trying to read something off of that. It's a lot easier to actually look at the manual or the article and have it right there in front of you. And if you don't get FIRO Focus, you can't do that.
Oh, and they're collectible. That's all I want to get at. They're collectible.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point, because, you know, if somebody needs to look up an old article based on tech or anything that FIRO Focus has published, we do have that index on FIROFocus.com that you can very easily reference any tech article. And you can, if you have your, like Christian said, if you have your catalog set up, you can very easily go back and say, okay, it was in 2000, issue 6, here's my reference back.
Yeah, I would assume that we've probably written more over, and listen to me include myself like we've written anything, but you've probably written more in the collective archives of FIRO Focus than you'll ever get in a Hayes manual. Mm-hmm. And it's not stopping. It's continuing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, going back to Ken making the comment about the tech articles, we've had people who've worked with GM. We've had people who've in the auto industry that really know these cars. So it's not like, you know, we're pulling them and saying, hey, write this article.
How many times have you repeated an article?
Article?
Has that ever happened?
Out of 27 years?
27 years, no repeats. That's fresh content for 27 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about those tech articles, too, is you can read a manual and can tell you how to fix something, but a tech article will tell you, okay, here's the trouble spots. Yeah, these are things that are known problem issues with the FIRO, where if you don't read the article,
you've got people who love and work on those cars as well telling you something.
Right.
Not just somebody who's hired to shoot a picture.
And that's where I think it kind of makes it a little bit personal, because it's like you're getting to know the person who's writing them, and you know that they're pretty damn accurate on what they're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
They've been there, done that. And the same token is, if I have a problem with my car, I can go back and say, oh, this is a common issue. I can go back and, you know, do some research. And
Can I throw a closing remark in there?
Go for it.
Do you think so many years of us consistently putting out this magazine has finally forced General Motors to put a mid-engine Corvette out. Is it our fault?
It sounds like it's coming. It sounds yeah. like it's coming.
I think we can, with the history of the Fiero, that's what it is.
We can take the blame.
That's why Chevrolet got rid of the Fiero.
That's right. That's why they got rid of it because the competition was there.
We got rid of this because we got to bring out a mid-engine Corvette. That is Pontiac that, beat us to the punch.
That is not fictitious lore. I'm telling you right now. It all comes full circle this year, and I think basically they realized, 27 years and this thing hasn't died. Maybe there's something to that. I mean, that's a lot of crow to eat, is all I got to say. Just
awful lot of sports cars with mid-engines and very successful and snappy things.
Let's buy it. Let's all pitch in, buy a Corvette, snap that front emblem off and put a Fiero emblem on the front and just let them admit that they were wrong.
Well, you remember when I forgot which. What was it? The 20th show with Hulky there, and somebody brought up the.
How he beat the pants off.
Beat the pants off of the Corvette at the test track.
I've got the video. You can look it up. It's still on YouTube.
And
you can put a link on that, right, Mike?
Yep.
He did admit that it could out accelerate it.
Yep.
But it couldn't deal with the corners.
Yep. Yeah.
So
then they brought the turbo out and they shut them down. Well,
and GM called them up and told them, "Oh,
see what I started? I'm sorry, Mike. It was supposed to be a short podcast."
That's okay. All right. So before we say goodnight, Jim, any last thoughts on where you see Fiero Focus going over the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years?
Holograms.
Holograms. No,
we've had a 3D cover.
We've had a 3D cover. I mean, it all depends on the creativity of this group as we continue to evolve over the years.
So if you're a creative, send an
email. So, yeah, if you're a creative, you want to join us. Again, it's a lot of fun, a lot of brainstorming at these meetings. If you're interested in that, drop me an email, and you'd be happy to have you join us as part of the planning team for Fiero Focus. If you're not already a member, you can subscribe through FieroFocus.com. We'd love to send you some examples of what we do, what we come out with. So the finished product is definitely worth its weight in gold.
Oh, it's worth much.
It's definitely a great publication, and we look forward to the many, many years to come and the different content and all the different stories. So thank you guys tonight for meeting and enjoying this podcast. Join us next month. We're going to have a detail session with Wayne Zane. He's again back with for us for a podcast that he's going to talk to us all about detailing and what goes into it and all the other fun stuff. So it's the winter time, so it's time to start the detailing for the next show season. So have a good night, and we'll see you soon. Bye.